Hello and welcome to Serene Reflections, a podcast of Dharma Talks from the Wallawa Buddhist Temple. I am Reverend Clarissa Beatty, a Zen monk and Buddhist priest from the mountains of Northeast Oregon, where we practice contemplative meditation, the Chan of Bodhidharma, the Zen of Dogen, the Serene Reflection Meditation of Reverend Master G.U. Kennett. You are invited to let yourself grow naturally still, to let go of the world for a while. Join us in listening in sound, in listening in stillness, turning within to listen from the heart that seeks the way. In the Denkaroku, the record of the transmission of the light, Keizon writes, "It is your own brilliantly luminous treasure house. When you let loose this brilliance through your eyes, you bathe the Buddha body and Buddha land in splendor. When you let this luminosity free through your ears, you can hear the sounds and voices of the Buddhas at work. When you let the radiance pass out through your hands, you change yourself as well as others. When you let it pass out through your feet, you put yourself into action, now stepping forward, now stepping back. What are my deepest regrets? As I look back over the course of my lifetime, what are some of the things I sincerely wish I had not set into motion? Nearing my death, or in proximity to the death of someone close to me, regrets can arise. The particulars of why I wince to recall certain actions may vary. I may or may not be surprised at what comes to mind. My regrets may center around some word said or deed committed, or equally, I may cringe over something omitted, something held back, a chance that was missed. What do I do with what arises in my heart in this area of remorse or sorrow at the realization of what my regrettable deeds may have wrought? When such realizations arise, they are the embodiment of great opportunity for profound spiritual understanding. I may choose to open to them, or I may fall back into my habitual patterns and miss the opening. But rest assured, another opening will doubtless come around again in the future. Should I choose to accept the offering of teaching, How might I proceed with the arising of regrets? What is the essence of regret? When consciously doing the work within the heart, regret can arise as my becoming aware of the effect of my harmful behavior on others through the clear seeing of its consequences and the sorrow that this brings. Looking back now with compassionate eyes, we can offer that long ago situation space. We can realize that especially when we were hurting, afraid, stressed, upset, it was easy to forget that although our own world filled the universe then, our own world was only a part of the many worlds which it intersected. We can see now how others were swept up in our world, or were adversely affected in some way of which we were oblivious at the time. We can see the situation from the distance of time, and also we can imagine more easily what our behavior may have seemed like when viewed from the perspectives of others. And we can still benefit now. Now, when a situation arises, we can stop. Reflect. How are my habitual actions, thoughts, words, emotion likely to reverberate in others? Because in actuality, everything we think, say, and do is not thought, said, and done in a vacuum. It ripples out with waves hitting those in our vicinity, sometimes engulfing them, continuing to radiate out beyond our own awareness, immeasurably. Non-separation does not mean only that I am not separate from those around me, from all of the whole universe. Non-separation also means that others, the universe, are not separate from me. Because I am not separate, because we are not separate, let me take care. Let me not trouble the waters which surround us all. Whatever troubles may arise, let me not trouble my heart, that I may not add to the many troubles inherent in being born here and dying there. Realizing this non-separation is a deeply significant moment in the unfolding of one's spiritual practice. Regrets born of this realization are a sign of great caring, of our inherent pure-hearted good intention. The step which follows this realization, then, must be, at some point, to do something about it. To do something about me. This doing is completely independent of guilt or blame or self-recrimination. There is little to be achieved by lingering to wallow in the slough of despond, which is actually a distraction from getting on with my real work. To go on, I must not get mired in the regrets, however much the shifting sands may tug at my ankles, pulling me downwards. Sometimes this takes great resolve, great determination, great patience, and wise discernment. Let the regrets fuel resolve. Let them goad me toward change. Though feelings of remorse naturally may arise and persist, these feelings are not themselves the doing of what needs to be done. What specifically needs to be done depends on the particulars of my karmic tendencies, depends on the truth of my present circumstances. And what needs to be done will almost certainly not involve endless repetition of mea culpas, which actually keep my world centered around myself. When we take the next step beyond regret, a balance tips until it comes into equilibrium, until I come to what in Buddhism is called equanimity. When weighing all sides, I can see or approximate what is good and wise to do. When my thoughts flow naturally from my clear seeing from a benevolent heart, when words fall as needed from my lips like gentle rain, rather than a spout of hot hate or opinionation or cold logic. Or when perhaps I keep a circumspect, still silence, rather than adding to the fuel. For example, what I have said or done in the past is said and done. We can hold it gently when regrets arise, and we can learn from the past, but we cannot go back and change it. Though we may be able to set some things to right even when vast eons have passed. New perspectives on our own actions may reveal themselves. New information or new understandings may come to light on the past. But what is done cannot be undone. However, we can be undone. We can let ourselves be undone by the past, when truly we come to see it clearly, without judgment. Coming to this point may take lifetimes. As Reverend Master Mako liked to say, it takes as long as it takes. There is little use worrying about how long it has taken us to get here to where we can see clearly. So now, coming to this point, without dwelling on past actions, we can go on resolving to do better. And not just resolving, but also reflecting on how we might do better, and doing it. This starts in small ways, small moments, as I let go of little ways in which I cling. It is not achieved overnight. Even when my understanding clarifies overnight, I then have to work continually at how to apply that understanding as I live out my ordinary daily life. So, when caught up again in the old patterns, I can catch sight of myself being caught and let go right now. Stop. Step back. Reflect. say to myself, "You know, I don't really mean that." Say it aloud. Ask, "Could we start over?" Maybe go apologize. Make good as best I can, and then let it go. And then, with practice, the next time the pattern gets rolling, I can recognize it earlier. Maybe catch the words before they come out the mouth. Then the next time, maybe catch the thought before the words form in the mind. Then the next time, maybe catch the feeling before it manifests as a thought. Until I am working on my clear perspective on all that unfolds as it unfolds in ordinary life. We are talking here about what it is to work with the Buddhist precepts. These are the Buddha's teaching on how to practice benevolence toward all beings by working on ourselves, how to cease from doing harm, how to do only good, how to do good for others. Notice that doing good for others comes after first ceasing from harm and then doing only good. This is a practice which begins with me, right where I live and breathe. But the practice doesn't end with me. It extends out and encompasses all others. Because we are not separate, any of us, from all others. From this one other before me right now, whoever they happen to be, and whatever they happen to be thinking, saying, and doing. Expecting a guest, we might set about cleaning the house with extra enthusiasm. What if we look at everyone we encounter as a guest entering our house? Wouldn't we want to be at our best for our guest? Preparing for a visitor, I might look around and realize there are some things in the house which could do with a more thorough cleaning. Likewise, my habits of body, speech, and mind. This is not to say we should only put our best face forward, hiding those less savory aspects of ourselves. This is to say that we can work on the less savory aspects, cleaning them, converting them to usefulness, so that the face I show is my real face, my pure heart, my original face, unobscured by the murk of harmful ignorance, brilliantly luminous, let loose. This is one meaning of the spoon I set with the handle pointing away from myself in the mealtime ceremony, a reminder that I train not only for myself, but also for others. This is one meaning of the bowing outward as I prepare to meditate. I bow to my sitting place and immediately turn clockwise as I bow out toward the others who sit with me, to the whole of existence which sits with me when I sit in meditation, which is also when I sit together with the whole of existence. We are not alone. We are not separate. When wandering in the farthest reaches of the forest wilderness, look around. We are surrounded with beings who are at home here. Even when solitary, we cannot be alone. The plants, trees, animals, ground and sky are with us. Even when I sit by myself in a quiet room, the room is with me, with its ceiling, walls, and floor, and all things teach. What is my teaching? What is the teaching here for me? Always there is a teaching. How may I open to it? How may I open to all the teaching that is right here, right now, for me, together with all beings? Whatever I may have done in the past, or what I may do in the future, there is the matter of what I will do right now. Where is my heart right now? What is my deepest wish right now? How may I let this, my pure intention, my true function, express itself naturally through every molecule of my being right now? Doing the work in this way, I don't need to wait for enlightenment or depend on dramatic moments of realization or wonder whether anyone has noticed my progress. In this way, every body is the Buddha body, and this very place where we stand is the Buddha land. Doing the spiritual work in the every moment way, I simply do the work. And the millions of moments come and go as I do my best within each of them, making each moment an offering from the heart that seeks the way, finding the way as it unfolds beneath my very feet. Thank you for joining us in listening to Serene Reflections from the Heart That Seeks the Way. To learn more about this practice, including more about how to meditate, you are invited to visit our website at walawabuddhisttemple.org. Here, in the Kanzeon Shrine of our Meditation Hall, we offer the merit of our practice of Serene Reflection Meditation to all beings, including you, wherever you may be.